Okay, we're going to do a tshuva now, which appears in the first volume of Shailas Tshuvas Memakim Siman Dalet. I'll just note that this tshuva indicates that there were a flurry of tshuvas that took place right around the time of Rosh Hashanah of Tafshin Beis, at the end of September and the beginning of October of 1941. We had done last time a tshuva that related to a situation of pikuach nefesh about people. The question as to whether people who were working in forced labor, whether they were allowed to refrain from eating non-kosher food. That was the last tshuva that we did. That was Siman Beis. Siman Gimel, which we're not doing now, is another tshuva which took place right around the time of Rosh Hashanah. And then this tshuva is dated... from Yud Beis Tishrei, this question came up, which is October 3rd, 1941. And this tshuva, again, a flurry of tshuvos, some of them, this is the second one now, a Pikuach Nefesh question, which came up right around that time. Rav Ashri notes that the author of the Dvar Avram, who is the Rav of Kovno, Rav Avram Kana Shapiro, he asked him to look into this tshuva as well, because apparently he wasn't feeling well enough to be ma'ayin, to focus sufficiently on it as well. So we'll see at the end of the tshuva, he goes back to the Dvar Avram with his findings and his conclusions. And in any case, let's talk about what the tshuva relates to. So the situation was the following. On October 3rd, 1941, a rumor came up that the Nazis were planning on killing all widowed women. In other words, many of the husbands already had been killed, and this rumor persisted, and it could not be clarified, but it continued and continued that the Nazis had decided to kill all the widowed women. As a consequence, these women came up with the idea that they should all get married in order to avoid being, you know, on this list of the widowed women. And this created the following quandary. On the one hand, obviously these were women who were Shomer Torah mitzvos, and they would go to the Rabbanim, and the Rabbanim would then, you know, set up the Seder Kiddushin, and they would oversee the marriage. On the other hand, the problem with this was that there was no mikvah in the Kovno ghetto, so to have them get married and then create a situation whereby having marital relations would involve an Isur Min HaTorah of Anita having relations with a man, so then that obviously is a problem of Lifnei Iver. It's a serious question of Lifnei Iver that you're creating a stumbling block in front of the individual. So maybe the Rabbanim should avoid this being Masada Kedushin. A couple of the other considerations were that if they would not go ahead with the regular halachic marriage, then they could save themselves by going and having a civil marriage, registering for a civil marriage through the local authorities. They could go to, it was some kind of police force that was run by the Jews. If they went there, they could have a civil marriage. Rav Ashri notes that if they would have a civil marriage, that creates its own set of problems, and this is somewhat reminiscent of certain issues that come up today. I mean, debates over marriage and civil marriage, halachic marriage in the state of Israel. If they would undergo a civil marriage, so then still the couple would feel on some level as if they're married. They might have relations. You wouldn't have the oversight from the Rabbanim in order to clarify as to whether possibly the woman was already married, and maybe the husband might be alive, and this could create other problems in terms of the status of children, etc. So Rav Ashri says that that's not a simple problem, a simple solution, to just simply have them register for civil marriage. Complicating things further, what's or another reason why maybe one would be matir in regard to this is that even though there was no mikvah, but there was a river And that the women would be able to be tovel in the river. And this would possibly, according to some poskim, be a valid tefillah. So maybe we should rely upon that point of view, and then it would be mutter. So these are the considerations which Rav Ashri was dealing with. So Rav Ashri presents the following. What we're going to do is, it's a long chew, about 16 pages long. We'll try to summarize some of the issues. One of the places where Rav Ashri presents a real summary, he has a couple of different summaries. One is on page Chaf Ches, which is the five, 6 pages into the tshuva. So Rav Ashri says like this. First of all, we have to clarify as to whether there's an Easter in this situation at all, because if the Rabbanim don't take care of it, right, so then they have the option of getting married and having a civil marriage through the local Jewish authorities. So is this considered a situation of Lifnei Iver? The Gemara famously in Maseches Avodah Zarah distinguishes between two scenarios which it calls Tre Iver Denaro and Chad Iver Denaro. The paradigm for Lifnei Iver, of creating a stumbling block before someone, causing someone to do an Iser, is it when a person provides a cup of wine for a Nazir. The Gemara says that if the individual providing the wine is on the other side of the river, in other words, let's call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Nazir, Shimon is the one who's giving him the cup of wine. They're on two sides of the river. Reuven, the Nazir, does not have access to the cup of wine. And Shimon, the other individual, extends the cup of wine to him. So then, that's the classical case of Lifnei Iver, because without the assistance from Shimon, Reuven would not be able to be over this Iser. It indicates, however, that if it's Chad Iver Denaro, it implies that they're on the same side of the river, and Reuven would have access to the wine anyways, and Shimon is just picking it up and giving it to him. But had he not done so, then Reuven would be over the Iser anyways by getting the wine himself. That is not an Iser Min HaTorah of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. There is a discussion, I'll just mention parenthetically, that Rav Ashri is not dealing with, is whether, according to the Rambam, maybe it could be an Iser Min HaTorah in any case, because the Rambam doesn't seem to make a distinction between one case and another, but Rav Ashri leaves that out of his tshuva and takes for granted that it's not an Iser Min HaTorah of Lifnei Iver if the person would be over, if the person would transgress anyways by having access to the Iser anyways. So in this case, what's the halacha? So there's a shita in the Rishonim, Tosis in the Rosh and others in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that seems to indicate that in fact, if the person would have access to the wine anyways, and doesn't really need Shimon, so then there's no Iser whatsoever. It's actually 100% mutter. So that's one sheet in the Rishonim. The Chad Iver Denaro, again, let's say this comes up a lot in Halacha. If the person would be over the Iser anyways, would have access to the Iser anyways, so then the person who's offering the assistance is not over any Iser at all, even an Iser Midrabanan. However, there is a sheet in the Rishonim that's quoted in various other places, Tosfos elsewhere and others. We say that it's an Iser Midrabanan. An Iser Midrabanan sometimes is referred to as Lafrusha Meisura, that you're supposed to try to prevent other Jews from doing Iser, and not help them to do an Iser. So even though it's not the Iser Min HaTorah of Lifnei Iver, but nonetheless there's an Iser Midrabanan to help someone to do an Aveira, even if they'd be able to do the Aveira on their own, if the individual does not need the assistance per se, but nonetheless there's an Iser in providing that assistance. Those are the two different Shitos in the Rishonim, that Rav Ashri deals with. Now, the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch presents these two different points of view, and it seems to say, okay, so we have a machlokes amongst the Rishonim in regard to this, and the Ramah actually concludes that Mi'ikar Adin, really one could be Mekil, and assume that it's actually 100% Mutter, Mi'ikar Adin, if the person would do the Iser anyways, so then it's Mutter. And the Ramah says that a Baal Nefesh Yachmir, a person who's careful, a person who tries to, fulfill the halacha in the optimal kind of way, that person should be careful in regard to this. That's the psak of the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, seems to be Machmir in regard to this, both in Yerodeya and also in one place in Or HaChaim. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, Beis Yosef, seems to hold that one should be machmir in regard to this, and one should be careful. But it seems to be a machlokes, and for Ashkenazim, in the Kovno Ghetto, they were Ashkenazim, they would be dealing with the position of the Rambam. So, plugging this into our topic for a moment, again, we have a situation in which if the Rabbanim don't take care of the Siddur Kiddushin, then in that case, the women could go do civil marriage anyways, which basically can have the same result. So therefore, that seems like a situation Rav Ashri thinks of Chad Iver Denara, that's one side of the river. If you don't provide them with this, with whatever it is which is going to cause them to do the Iser, then they're going to get it elsewhere anyways through the civil marriage. Therefore, says Rav Ashri, this is Chad Iver Denara, and it would seem that we would deal with it in this way, that we would say that it's machlokes as to whether it's mutter lechatchila, or whether we say it's an isur midrabanan. That's what we have so far. So he quotes, however, that there's another more complicating factor, because there's a sheet of the Mishnah Lamelech that says the following. This is a famous sheet of the Mishnah Lamelech, which has a lot of relevance halacha lemaisa as well. The Mishnah Lamelech is talking about someone who would borrow money from someone who lends with interest. Obviously, that individual who lends with interest is transgressing an Eastern Minat Torah. Not allowed to lend with interest with ribis. So, the Mishnah Melech brings up the following question. What if, let's say, the person, Reuven, who's lending with interest, he's lending with interest to many different Jews. So if I don't borrow from him, so then somebody else will borrow from him. So he's going to be over the Eastern anyways. So you can make the argument that, therefore, that's not considered to be an Iser of Lif Neiver, based on what we said now. It's not an Iser Minat Torah, for sure, of Lif Neiver. According to some Rishonim, maybe it's Mutter Lechatchila, because of the fact that, again, I'm not being machshel this individual, he'd be doing the Iser anyways. Says the Mishnah Melech, after quoting such a position, he says, I don't think that's true. Because if I don't borrow the money from him, he's going to lend it to another Jew, and another Jew will cause him to do the Iser. In the end, another Jew is going to cause this person to do an Iser. Says the Mishnah Melech, if another Jew is going to cause the Iser to take place anyways, then there's no heter, essentially, of Trei Iver Denaro anymore. Of Chad Iver Denaro anymore. We don't say that's permissible. In fact, that's completely Osir. In other words, if Jews are causing this person to do the Iser, then in that case, the individual who's assisting, we look at that person as part of the klal. You might say klal Yisrael in quotation marks. If somebody in klal Yisrael is going to facilitate this person doing an Iser, so therefore that's considered to be lif neiver. He says, by way of example, let's say if I'm on the other side of the river and the person asks for a cup of wine, he can't get access to it. Now, if I don't give it to him, another Jew will give it to him. Right? There's another Jew standing there who'll give it to him. So you might say, well, in that case, he's going to do the Iser no matter what. So maybe it's not considered Lif Neiver, because it's, he's going to have access to the Iser anyways. Says the Mishnah Melech, no. He says only if the person would be able to get the wine on his own, then we consider that to be Chad Iver Denara. But if another Jew, no matter what, if I don't help the other person, if I don't knock to me machshel the individual to cause the stumbling block to somebody, another Jew will, that's considered to be lif ne'iver. Because in the end, ultimately, a Jew is going to be helping this person do an Iser. So says Rav Ashri, in this case, what's the scenario? The scenario is in which the Rabbanim are not misari kiddushin, right, and thereby causing a stumbling block, then they're going to go to the Jewish police and have a civil marriage, and the Jewish police will be causing a stumbling block. So according to the Mishnah Melech, this would be Osir in any case. So therefore, it's not so poshut that you can take the route of, saying that it's only an Easter midrabanan or not mutter lechatchila, because the person would be, the women would have access to another, or have another option of getting married, and this would bring about the same situation. That's not necessarily true according to the Mishnah Melech. And even according to the other point of view, again, let's just review this for a minute, even if we don't hold like the Mishnah Melech, it's not so poshut, says Rav Ashri, that it would be mutter. If you just take a look at the Ramah does say that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir in regard to this, and we would consider this to be an Issa Midrabanan. And finally, he also notes the following. There's a famous sheet of the Shach in Yeridea, and there's a, this again is one of these, all these issues actually are very relevant halacha lemaisa to many scenarios and situations of Lifnei Iver. So there's a sheet of the Shach that says the following. The Shach was troubled by the fact that there seems to be a stira in Tosfos and other Rishonim. In some places they said that there's an Issa Midrabanan of Lifnei Iver when you have Chadi Vidanaru and the person be able to get it from the same side of the river. And in some places they say that it seemed to indicate that it's Mutr Lechatchila. So the Shach is wondering, how do you resolve this apparent contradiction, this inconsistency? So the Shach said like this. The Shach said, if you have a person who is a regular observant Jew, and you help that person out to do the Isur, so then that's considered to be Osir Midrabanan, because you have an obligation, Lafrushim Isura, to separate the person from doing an Isur. But if the individual is, let's say, a Mumar, the person is not observant anyways, so in that case, the Shach assumes that there's no obligation, Lafrushim Isura, to prevent the person from doing an Isur, because this person is not interested in keeping the Torah anyways. So therefore, then it's mutter. It's a famous distinction drawn by the Shach. Again, in a situation where the person is not observant anyways, so then it would be mutter to help the person out if the individual would be able to do the Isur anyways. But if the person is observant, so then it would not be permissible to help the person out, even if the person could do the Isur on one's own. Again, what we refer to in Halacha as Chad Ivedanaro. So Rav Ashri says that according to the Shach, we also have a problem, because according to the Shach, since these women are observant, therefore you have an obligation, Lafrusha Meisur, according to the Shach, he would hold that there's still an Isur Midrabanan. I'll just mention parenthetically that there's an interesting sheet of Rabbi Akiva Eger in regard to this that the Rav Ashri does not talk about. The Rabbi Akiva Eger brings up the possibility that if in a certain situation, even if the person is not necessarily a mumar, someone who is not observant at all, but the person is someone who is in this case doing something bemazed, maybe we would also use the same svar that there's no obligation lafrusha meisura, no obligation to prevent the person from doing an avera. Rashi doesn't bring this up, and that might be relevant in this case. In any case, as this shach has tremendous has many many applications. Lamaisa nowadays, and there's a discussion, what do you do in regard to somebody with a Tinuk Shanishba? Do you apply the Shach? But in any case, okay, so this is the summary that Rav Ashri says, and Rav Ashri seems to indicate it initially, though, that the one should be Machmir. Again, the considerations are the following. We have various different reasons to think that there's an Issa Midrabanan taking place here, because the Ramah quotes a Machlokes as to whether there's an Issa Midrabanan in this case. They go to the police and register with civil marriage. But on the other hand, that's a question as to whether that might be an Issa Midrabanan anyway. Some say it's Mutr Lechatchil, some say it's Midrabanan. According to the Shach we're saying now, so then you're left with an Issa Midrabanan. That's what Rav Ashri is assuming. Because the people are observant, so you have to be mafresh them from Nisar. Even the Ramah says that one should Lechatchil Baal Nefesh Yachmir, that one should try to be Machmir in regard to this. So that's another reason to be Machmir. And then according to the Mishle Melech, right, since the other option that these women have will also include Jewish people helping them out, so according to the Mishle Melech, there's no heter whatsoever. And you don't consider this, you consider this to be a bona fide Iser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. But then Rav Ashri brings up, and for this we'll just give a summary of what this Shita is, which emerges from other sources. Rav Ashri quotes that some of the Achronim, based upon analysis of other Gemaras and Rishonim, the Vushi Mordechai and the Shelos HaTshuvas Yehuda Yale, that they say that the Iser of Lifnei Iver really only should apply if the person, the Iser Midrabanan, that we're talking about, that we mentioned that exists, that only would apply if the individual says that he or she is going to be doing the Iser. But what if, let's say, they don't say that they're doing the Iser? It could be they won't do the Iser. So then why should we necessarily assume that the individual is going to be over an Iser? Maybe we just assume they're going to do the right thing. They're going to follow the Torah. They're not going to go ahead and transgress. In this case, the women are not saying, they haven't stated that they're going to, live together with these men, be Iser, right? So why would you make that assumption? And this is obviously a very powerful argument and is, can be broadened and is discussed by Poskim is to, whether you necessarily assume, let me give an example in regard to this, even though it's a little bit of a tangent, but let's say Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuvah, a person is selling an article of clothing that to women, and the article of clothing on its own is not sanua. But it can be worn together with other things, which would make it sanua. So you're allowed to sell it. So the argument goes that if the individual, we don't have to assume the person is going to do an Isur, person could, wear this clothing in a modest kind of way. So to over here, you're going to help these people to get married halachically, and then why do you necessarily assume that they're going to do something which is also, which is to have relations without the women going to the mikvah? And in this context, Rav Asher talks about something else as well, and that is that there is another option, which, as we noted before, that the women would be able to go to the river. And he quotes an involved discussion. We're not going to go into in detail right now, but he mentions that there's a debate. It's a Chaber and the Ramah have the discussion in regard to this in Yerudei Simon Reish Aleph as to whether a river is considered to be a valid for as a mikvah, and ultimately the Ramah comes to the conclusion the answer is yes, and he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan who says that also Lamaisef, there's no choice, then certainly one relies upon that following the Ramah, and therefore Rav Asher says we do have another option, right? That they would be able to go to the river, according to these poskim, and again, we're talking about those who would follow the Ramah, the Aruch HaShulchan. So, therefore, there is a permissible option as well for the women to be able to tovel and remove the status of Nida. Rav Asher then turns to yet another heter, or another source of leniency, which is mentioned by the Achronim, and it comes up regularly in the in regard to Lifnei Iver discussions, and that is a shita of the Binyan Sion of Yaakov Ettlinger, the author of the Aruch HaNer, and also this is the Tzav Sofer and the Netziv and others also basically take this approach as well, and they say the following. The Binyan Sion was dealing with a situation in which a person gave a sefer to a non-Jewish printer in order to print it. This person had workers who were there, who were Jewish. So should we be concerned that they're going to print on Shabbos and the workers are going to work on Shabbos? So this is a problem of Lifnei Iver. And ultimately, the Binyan Sion came to the conclusion, also, it's in order to try to resolve this inconsistency, which we have in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim seem to indicate that it's Mutar L'Chatchila, when it's Chad Iver D'Na'ara, and some Rishonim seem to indicate that there's an Isur Midrabanan, when the person would do the Isur anyways. So he comes to the following resolution. He says, depends whether the Isur takes place at the time when the assistance takes place. If you assist the person and the person does the Isur right away, so then that's an Isur Midrabanan, because it helped the person do the Isur right now. But if you help do something for the individual and the person will do the Isur later on, so then it's no longer considered to be Begeder, being Misayeya, helping the individual, because the person did it later on, there's a delay, and therefore that would be Mutar L'Chatchila. And this is also, again, mentioned in other Achronim, and in most relevant to us, or most similar to us, the Meshiv Dover, the Netziv, has this question regarding to being Misadar Kiddushin for women who are not going to go to the mikvah. And the Savar over here is that one of the reasons to be Mekil is that the Isur would take place later on. In other words, the Seder Kiddushin would take place at one point in time. The Isur, if they would have relations, would take place at a later point in time. And therefore, maybe it would not be considered usur. And again, in a situation where they would have the option of getting married anyways, or they'd be living together anyways. Rav Ashri also quotes the Marsham, who in a certain situation seemed to take the same kind of approach that, you know, again, assuming that we're dealing only with an Isur Midrabanan to begin with, again, what we call either Misayeya or the Afrusha Meisura, then if the Isur is going to take place at a later point in time, it's not taking place immediately, it would be Mutter. So now, Rav Ashri has a little bit more reason to be makel, right? At least on a, if we're dealing only with a drabanon, if that would be true, that we're only dealing with a drabanon, because again, let's go through this again, if the rabbanim are not going to be misadik kedushin, then they'll go anyways to the civil authorities in order to have a civil marriage, in which can end up in the same situation, which they'll look at themselves like they're married, and this potentially could result in an iser of them having relations with one another. So, even if this would be true, then, and even we treat that as an Isur Midrabanan, then you can say that since there's a delay from the Seder Kedushin until they would be having relations with Isur, according to these postgame, that would make it Mutter. And Rav Ashri even goes one step further. He says that the Bach in Or HaChaim seems to indicate that this Sevara actually can address even a situation where it's trei iver denara, where there's an iser mina Torah of lifnei iver. That even if it's a situation of trei iver denara, which would generally be assumed to be an iser mina Torah, then we would use the same svara that since it's not taking place at the time of the assistance, the iser, the transgression, does not take place at the time of the assistance, but it takes place later on, therefore, it's not considered lifnei iver. So this Bach, right, the Bais Chadash of Yol Sirkis, one of the major Rishonim on the tour, one of the early Achronim, so if you take this point of view, you now have the possibility of being Mekel in our case, even were it an Isur Mina Torah, right? Especially if you would follow the Mishnah Lamelech, as we mentioned before, and according to the Mishnah Lamelech, maybe you would have a problem that it might be considered lifnei iver, because in the end, ultimately, a Jew is going to be offering the assistance. But now, you might have a different heter on a deraisa level, according to the Bach. Maybe at least the Bach would be a backup. Following that, you might say, line of reasoning, where that, once you go down that path, you might have the Bach to rely upon. So after all is said and done, this is now on page Lamed Hey, Rav Ashri is Mekil. And he says the following. He says that, according to some Rishonim we've noted before, in a situation where the person would be able to do the Iser anyways, just to take the straightforward reading of the Tosfos and the Rosh, and this is quoted by the Ramah, the straightforward reading is that since the person will be able to do the Iser anyways, so therefore there's no Iser at all, right? The situation, what we call Chalid Iver Denara, one side of the river, there's no Iser whatsoever, it's Mutter Lechatchila. The Ramah actually says Mikra, then we Paskin that way. That's number one. Number two, even if you are Machmir like the Shach says that there's an Iser Midrabanan in any case, because lafrusha meisur, you have to prevent the person from doing an iser. But you have other svaros to be mekil. Number one, who says that they're necessarily going to do the iser? They didn't say they're going to do the iser, right? So why would you assume that they're going to do the iser? And they also have the option of going to the river. And we saw that certainly for Ashkenazim, there is room to be mekil if it's really necessary for a woman to be tovel in the river. So you don't. According to those postgame, that would not be a problem of lifnei iver no matter what. We also have the sheet of the Mishnah Melech, which theoretically could result in a huge chumrah, because you could say that it's really a bona fide Iser mina Torah of lifnei iver, because they don't go to the if the Rabbanim don't take care of it, so then other Jewish people will take care of it, and then Mimonoshach, no matter what, it's a Jew who's going to be helping the person to do an Isur, even if that were to be true, even if you adopt that Mishnah Melech and think that we have a problem with an Isur Min HaTorah, but nonetheless, you have the Sheet of the Bach, and that, in any case, that whole Svar is a very important one, right? that could apply as well, that since there's going to be a delay in regard to the Isur from the time of the assistance until the Isur actually takes place, so therefore it's not considered to be in Isur Min HaTorah. And again, that obviously has relevance, that whole svar has relevance if we're working within the realm of a Derabbanan. So for these reasons, Rav Oshri says ultimately that one would be able to be mekil, to be misad kedushin for these women. And obviously in this context, I just want to note that if it were bona fide pikuach nefesh, the Rav Oshri would obviously treat this in a different kind of way, but he's really not the problem. Part of the problem with this is that it wasn't clear to what degree it's really considered to be pikuach nefesh, for a number of reasons. Number one, because this is a rumor and it couldn't really be substantiated that they were going to kill all the women who had been widowed. So it's usually we assume safek pikuach nefesh is considered to be pikuach nefesh. That's true, but on the other hand, this was a rumor and not clear, and what was going to happen, anyways. You know, they could decide at any moment in time they're going to kill everybody. They're going to do the opposite. It wasn't really, Rav Oshri seemed to be uncomfortable just looking at this as a regular pikuach nefesh situation because of the lack of clarity in regard to this. So, in any case, that's one of the reasons why he deals with the leaf ne'iver element and focuses upon that primarily. After all is said and done, he says that he brought this psak to the Dvar Avram, and the Dvar Avram agreed to him that the Rabbani would be able to misad kiddushin. So this is the tshuva of the Dvar Avram. Interestingly, along the way, he notes that the Chavetz Chaim was of the position that if a family is, a couple is not going to be careful in regard to Taras and Mishpacha, so then he said that he heard from the Chavetz Chaim was of the position that a person should not be misad kiddushin in such a situation. But in any case, in this situation, for all the reasons that we mentioned now, it could be that it's mutter lechatchila. You could make such an argument according to some Rishonim. If it's osur midrabanan, possibly according to some, but there are other reasons why you might be makil. Again, primarily because of the fact that, again, who says the person is necessarily going to do an Isur, and there's also going to be a time delay. Even if you would take the extreme view, let's call it of the Mishnah Melech, that maybe because a Jew is going to be offering assistance no matter what, and maybe we'd consider that to be leaf na'iver. But even according to the Mishnah Melech, we still have a backup sheet of the Bach, who applies the time delay heter, according to Rav Oshri, even on a Doraisa level. And says that even if you'd have a bona fide Isur Min HaTorah of leaf neiver, it's still that Svar of the Bach would apply. So for that reason, Rav Oshri says in this situation, you'd be able to be Mekel. Again, the Rabbani would be able to be Sarek Kedushin. Apparently, this was what was done, that these women, many women, were married at this point in time, and this was in order to save them for the potential danger that we had mentioned earlier.